This is an adult-oriented podcast. If you are under 18, please find yourself away from here. Go ask your parents for money. Go play in the street. Just stop listening. I torture you. Take my hand through the flame. I torture you. I'm a slave to your games. I want to chain you up. I want to tie you down. And we're live.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
You look good sitting there. Welcome to Adventures in Kink. I am BK.
I am Princess Pita.
And this is our new podcast. It's pretty much about our adventures in kink.
So, our journey along the way. And
how we got to this point and this point forward. And hopefully we'll have lots of educational stuff. That's the goal, to help others along their way.
And learn from our experiences and mistakes. And
from some of our friends.
Yes.
We have a lot of friends. We are in the Dallas area community. We're involved with that. We'll speak more on that later. And pretty much this is just the getting to know us episode.
So tell us about you.
Hi, I'm me. Well, that's usually how I start. You know, we go to a munch or whatever and they do those get to know you things. Like, hi, I'm BK. I make things. I make toys. I make floggers, dragon tails, other various painful things.
Paddles. Lots of fun toys.
Do canes, bamboo and carbon fiber. And my personal favorite is the nipple tree, although there are a lot of people scared of that thing.
There is a BK's Toys FET page.
There is.
If you want to check it out.
You can... If you're interested, just send me a message on FetLife at BKS_toys. There's no apostrophe or anything. That's the Fet page. And no, this podcast is not to sell things. That's just a hobby. Prices are, you'll see, because they're not high. They're low. And that's for two reasons. One, because it's just a hobby. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to get rich on it because it's such a niche thing with just all our kinky friends that would do it and not the mass public. So once everyone has a toy, then you're kind of done, right? I mean, really.
Well, you told me when we first met that you did this because you wanted the everyday person to be able to afford good toys.
Yes. And really and truly where I got started with it was I walked into a local store. I'm not going to name their name because I like the store. Their business is a valid business, and other things that they have than the toys, I think are they're good stuff. It's good quality stuff. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to talk bad about the store because I don't consider them competition. There was a flogger that I really wanted, and I didn't have any at the time. I was kind of starting over again, and the one that I saw there was $250. And I'm like, no, I can make that for less than that.
And so you did.
And the rest is kind of history. So I started making my own toys. And then people were like, hey, could you make me one? Sure. How much would that cost? And it just kind of rolled into that. And then I decided, you know, there's enough new people because of whatever reason. Because I started this before there was 50 Shades of Anything. I started this before there was Twilight. Okay. Wow. So it's been a while. And so there wasn't Twilight fan fiction when I started making toys. But there were people on budgets because they have families and kids. And there were people who had, there were college students who were involved. And I got started in college. And I understand what it's like to be a college student and not have money. And I was like, well, let's make things more affordable because you don't want to buy some of the stuff that you find like on Amazon. You can find stuff on there for $10 and it's like plastic and falls apart after the first use. That's not good either. the same things you can find in sex toy stores, like whatever, you know. I'm not going to name any of them because they're not paying me to name them. So, sorry, money's a thing, you know. I mean, you got to have advertisement. You're going to get paid to advertise, right? Am I wrong?
No.
Okay. Thought so. But you can find the same cheap toys there for...
They don't have a very good selection.
No. You can get a flogger for $25. It's mm-hmm. made out of fake leather, and it falls apart after a couple uses. It's garbage. The whips that you find there, the single tails, are fake leather. They're charging you $20. They're worth about $3. You can go down to San Antonio, to the Riverwalk, or the Mexican market just off the Riverwalk there.
Mercado.
Whatever. And you can find them for $5 all day long, and they're garbage. You wouldn't want to hit a person with that.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to hit a person with that. I wouldn't want to hit anything with that. They barely make a sound as it is. I have a funny story about one of those, and I'll probably tell at some point. It's yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. Anyway, so yeah, I make the stuff. I don't do single tails. I'm working on that. I know people that do. I am not afraid to give the name of other local
artisans
or mm-hmm. craftsmen or craftswomen or however they want to be known. Toy makers, you know, whatever. Furniture makers.
We might even have some of them on as guests.
I'm sure that we will. Because that's just who we are. I mean, it's not about me. It's not about my way is the only way. It's about, this is a very diverse community in and of itself that lives within a very diverse world. And most of the world looks down on the things that we do.
True.
And, for all the people, you hear people preaching, you got to be open-minded, this, that, and the other, and then they're the most closed-minded people usually. So, I don't know. That's just, I'll get off my soapbox.
Okay, so BK, other than making toys.
Other than making toys, I am a sadistic daddy dominant type.
Yay.
She's yaying because she gets to enjoy all the fun from that.
All the sadistic and the daddy.
Yeah. And, I have been known to be a service top from time to time. I will go through various things that I make or have made so that someone might, you know, oh, yeah, I've never been flogged before. Would you mind? No, I don't mind at all. I'll go through. These are the different ones that I use, different textures, different feels. Oh, I didn't know they could feel different. And then I wind up teaching several people with the one scene, and it's kind of fun. I enjoy teaching.
And that's
something
that we should actually do as one of our topics, is talking about the different types of leather and the different, you know, because that was one of our first conversations.
Yes.
We sat down and talked about all the different types of floggers and what they could feel like.
And, yeah. And on the toy profile, there actually is drawn out a good list of the different types of leathers and stuff and kind of what they feel like. But it's definitely a conversation worth having. Maybe with a guest.
Maybe.
Haha. Look at that. So, yeah. Daddy, sadistic, service top. Yeah, all around nice guy and evil bastard.
Too true.
Okay. So, that's me. I'll go into my origin story later.
Well, how many years have you been involved in the
list? Let me see. I started in 1989.
So, lots of years.
Yeah.
Almost 30.
Yeah. 28 years next month, the end of September, start of October. I don't remember when that was. I have to look back.
You've slept
on that.
Since then.
Yeah, a couple times.
So he's the experienced side. I'm the newbie side.
Yeah, and a cute newbie you are.
So are we talking about me now?
Are we talking about
me?
We're talking about
okay.
you now.
Princess PETA, because daddy calls me princess, and PETA because, you know, pain in the ass because I'm a bit of a brat. I've been involved in the lifestyle About 2 years, 2.5 if you count all the time I spent doing massive amounts of research before I even began to dip a toe in the water, because I'm the overly cautious type. And
there's logic to that. I encourage people to read as much as they can before they actually get out and do stuff. That doesn't mean you can't go out and be social with people and watch, but definitely read, talk to people. That can be part of research, is talking to people at events. So,
and
yeah.
I did eventually get to that point.
Yeah.
You know,
know what you're getting into first, though. You're right.
I got curious, and then I found out about FET, and I started reading and talking to people on FET. And after a while, I went to a munch. I got involved in a long distance relationship, so I wasn't really involved in the Dallas community until about a year ago. Last summer, I went to Bridging the Slash, a big program that they did in Dallas, and then I started going out into the community a little bit more, and I started making friends, and well, then I met BK, and
hi,
and so now I'm involved with him, and we still try to stay involved with as much as we can. We both very busy jobs and family, and it's a little difficult for us because we live farther away than most people from Dallas. But, and we will talk about the Dallas scene in a little while, but, I mean, that's pretty much my story. I like rope. I am a little bit of a masochist. I wouldn't call myself a full blown masochist because, well, there are levels and I'm not on that level, but, you know, wax, there's a whole list of things that I want to try and haven't yet because still new and I'm doing my research. But I have little tendencies. We say middle because, you know,
you're more of a middle.
BK is my daddy. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's it about me. There's not much to tell. Not yet, anyway.
You're a work in progress.
I am.
I'll have to work you over later. That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. What now?
Well, let's talk about what we want this podcast to be.
Ding, ding, ding. Let's do that. You wanted a bell, right?
Well, one of the reasons that we wanted to do this podcast is because we're both very, as you heard before, we're both very much about educating yourself and knowing what you're getting into and being aware of, you know, what kind of problems you could face and, you know, all the other fun stuff that goes along with getting involved in a risky lifestyle and risky things that we do.
Trying to be risk aware. Risk aware is very important.
Yeah. I mean, and you're not going to be able to completely eliminate any risk involved in any of the activities we do. They are risky activities.
Everything is risky, yes.
But if you are aware, you can protect
mitigate.
Yourself. Yes,
yes,
you can mitigate the risk.
Look at me using big words. It's like we're educating people or something.
Right.
What do you say? Mitigate.
So that's one of the things that we are going to do with this podcast is kind of treating it as almost like a BDSM 101 type of thing, you know?
Sort of, yeah.
Talk about the different, you know, just different things that you face.
But not in a stuffy classroom kind of thing, because that's just not how we roll.
No, we're not going to do that. But we are going to talk about things that we have learned in getting involved in the lifestyle and things that we think people could benefit from. And that's why we're also bringing in a lot of our friends to talk to, because there are a lot of people who have a lot of different experiences and a lot of wealth of information that we feel like they could bring to this.
Absolutely. Some of the people that we're talking about bringing in have been doing this as long or longer than I have. I consider them to be not the experts in the field, but very, very knowledgeable. Many of them have taught before the classes of which that they're going to present on here. Some of the subjects we're going to look at are like negotiations, very important. The person that I have reached out to and has agreed to it has taught it many times. They have done it the beginner novice class that they teach is normally an hour and a half, and we're trying to hold this podcast to around an hour. So we're going to get the watered down version. So they'll probably be back again for more.
Right.
Especially if you email questions or comments in. adventuresinkink@gmail.com is our website. I mean, our email address. I'm sorry. We don't have a website yet. We're working on that. You know.
So negotiations, that's going to be probably our first guest, right?
Yes, that's the plan, I believe.
And we'll talk about other things, like we'll talk about individual activities and things. You know, we have a good friend who does wax. We have good friends who do electric play and...
rough body play, different things to look out for, single tail stuff. Because how can you get an hour out of single tail stuff? Well, there's a lot to talk about as far as safety. Rope. And rope. We know a lot of rope people.
We do know a lot of rope people. Dallas is one of the biggest areas in the country for rope.
It really is one of the larger areas. Because of bed, which now in the fall has a second bed.
Yeah. Bondage Expo Denver.
So look at that. There's twin beds now.
But we won't just be talking about like individual activities. We'll also talk about things like going to a munch.
Yes.
And the importance of community and communication, and we could talk about cigars.
Absolutely. There'll be a cigar service, probably more than one on
here.
There's
a lot of stuff.
Because cigar service takes on a whole realm of different things. From you can be service as in choosing the cigar, how to select the right cigar, how to prepare the cigar, how to cut the cigar, light the cigar, and all of that. And then there becomes service as in accepting the ash, either on the hand or on the tongue or on the body or whatever, and all the different things, becoming the human ashtray. And it's also service, but it's... not everyone's the same, and not everyone is in that level of service. Not everyone wants to be a human ashtray, because some people look at that as degradation, whereas some people look at that as that ash is my trophy, and I'm going to accept that. And I know people who get orgasmic from it, and it's, I guess, because the heat, and it really, they have a thing for heat.
All right, cool.
It's fun to watch. Everything from cutting the cigar to the marinating the cigar, if appropriate, and whatnot.
Ooh, something I wish I had known about when I first got in was just attending a play party. What to expect, what you could wear. I cannot tell you how many people I messaged on FET and asked, but what do I wear? And they would not give me a straight answer. Their answer was always, wear what you feel comfortable in. And I hated that, because I don't feel comfortable in anything. And I wanted somebody to tell me, hey, here's some examples of something people might wear to the
dungeon.
And
that's a good topic.
And I had no idea. So, yeah, we could talk about things like that. Just what to expect and what to watch out for.
Yes.
Because there are...
red flags. Yes. How to spot red flags in public.
Or on FET.
Boy, they're easier on FET sometimes, but some guys are getting in, girls too. Some of those predators, because that's really what they are, have gotten really good at masking what they're looking for.
It's because they've learned the lingo.
They've figured out what to say and how to say it, and they figured out what buttons to push and exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've gotten really good at being predators. And that, again, that goes back to safety. We're big on safety. And being aware.
And that's another thing we can talk about is toy safety.
Toy safety. And this is, again, not me making toys, trying to sell everyone something, but everyone should have their own stuff. Toys should be pretty much used on one person, cleaned regularly, because not necessarily because you're icky, and you got stuff, but skin cells are there and they'll collect on it. And leather was alive at one time. So you got to keep that in mind.
It's easier to accidentally break skin than you think too.
It's happened
a couple of times when we played, and we weren't playing rough. It was just,
sometimes the skin is thinner than others. the weather conditions can affect. I mean, there's a million things that can affect it. If the barometric pressure is just right, the skin is easy to break. If you've not played in a long time, then a lot of the toughness the skin has built up will break down and it's easier to break. Sometimes you can hit something just right. A toy that hasn't been used in a while can stiffen up and can break skin. There's a million different things. And we'll go into that in greater detail in an episode later on, probably. Talking also for the future, we want to do a book club maybe once a month.
Yeah, this was my idea.
This was a good idea.
Right. So in the spirit of I like to learn new things, one of the things I started doing right from the beginning was reading whatever I could get my hands on, and that includes actual books. So I would really like to do a book club, and it just depends on how much interest there is. It could be once a month, or it could be, you know, every other week or something that.
Every 2 weeks or once a month, or sometimes it takes a while to read a book. Sometimes they're bigger.
Well, I'm not talking about the whole book. I'm talking about a chapter at a time.
Oh, well then, yeah, that could be every week.
I think it could be a weekly thing,
that could
you
be
know,
weekly.
We could put it out on the FET page and have people vote on what book that we want to go through. And then just each week go over a chapter. I read it, our listeners read it, and you know, we can
That's
discuss.
Funny. You mentioned a FET page. When we started recording this, we did not have a FET page for this podcast.
So we paused
in the middle and we made one. We have a FET page for this podcast, Adventures in Kink.
Yes.
Feel free to reach out and
friend us.
Send a friend request. We will accept it, or just simply follow if you'd like. Send us a message.
Feel free to give us feedback, ask questions, suggest things that you want to learn about, talk about. We'll definitely
suggest books. Suggest yes. authors.
Well, I'm going to, the first time around, I'm going to put a list of a few books out there and see if we can maybe choose one of them, because these are ones I already have accessible. And you
yeah,
know.
Those would be good. We should always start with something like that, you know. I mean, just saying. Also, be careful when you're choosing books, because, and I know that there will be people out there who hear this and go like, well, I'm not doing something from so-and-so because I went through this once and I don't remember the name. I'm sure it will come up. The book sounded really good and interesting, but no one wanted anything to do with the book because the author was convicted of rape and this and that and the other. I'm like, that doesn't make the stuff in the book not valid.
But you also don't want to financially support
someone. But you don't want
like
to financially
that.
Support that person, even Absolutely. Though they are currently in prison. And they're not receiving any of the money. I think
yes,
it was...
But no, that's totally understandable.
But I think the money was funneled to a... rape victim survivor group or something. The profits incurred from that while they were in prison. I don't know. Further research is required.
I want to focus on more educational type books. Erotica is all well and good and fun, but you know, I want it to be educational. There's all kinds of books out there. Some of them are better than others, and that's where the discussion comes in.
Right.
But it can prompt some good
discussions.
Sometimes
those not as good books are pretty good if there's discussion.
Right, because they prompt a lot of interesting
They prompt good discussion.
But we didn't mention this before, but there's an interest in poly here. So that's another thing that we'll be talking about. Because
everyone who's read our profiles, I'm thinking about the three people who've listened by now. They've seen that my profile lists me as poly, and that you do not list yourself as poly, but
at this point, I mean, it could change.
It could
change. Things are fluid. Things change. Yeah. But that's how our relationship started was because you're poly. So that is definitely something that I researched a lot before we got involved.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, there's
as well, you should
books there and information. So,
and those are good books. Those really are the ones that you read. Yes. They're very good books.
Well, except for the one that I only read a little bit, and then I got...
You're like, yeah, but everyone loves that book, and I still don't understand why. And maybe we can have someone who's pro that book on, and we can maybe them win us over or us win them over. I don't know.
I think my problem with that book was that it didn't line up with my view on what poly should be. It was definitely more open swinger type lifestyle.
Yeah, of course, we're talking about, I'm not going to say it.
No.
Not going to say it. We'll save that.
You know, if we discuss it later, we'll talk about it. But yeah. And it's a perfectly legitimate book if it matches what you're looking for. But it just didn't work for me.
To me, the book was just full of opinion. There wasn't any fact stated. And everything was very narcissistic and one-sided. And you deserve this happiness. And your partners should just give it to you. And I'm like, what? Yeah. How does that even float?
I prefer the books that are, you know, this you have to put a lot of work in, and here's how, you know, some tips ways for ways you can put that work in and make good things
books.
Work. Yeah.
Ones that give you suggestions and not ultimatums. Right. I like those books. Yeah.
So that's another subject that we'll probably touch on here and there, because poly is something that affects our life and that could, you know, affect our life greater in the future. So, you know, as things progress, but I'm sure we are going to talk about our lives.
Well, I'm sure we
all
will,
the time, because this is our podcast.
It's what we know. I mean, we live it, right?
Right.
Hopefully we do. If someone else is living my life, I pity you.
They're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So
unless you're on a private island, in which case, give me my life back.
That private island, that's something that we talk about all the time.
We do.
You know,
we do.
That's the dream.
It's the ultimate dream. Obviously, recording a podcast and our study is not going to...
No, that's definitely not going to give us the island, and
no.
Neither are our everyday jobs.
No.
It is a dream, and it will probably stay that way, but...
It's our next career that will fund that, probably.
But I'm very happy with our life as it is.
I'm happy with our life, too. We didn't go into our origin stories.
Well, I kind of did do my origin story.
You kind of did.
It's only 2 years long, so it's really, really brief. Yours is a lot more interesting.
Well, my introduction to kink. I mean, you found something, you got interested, you started researching. Mine was, I didn't have any clue this existed. Of course, when I started, we didn't have an internet either. So,
old man.
Shh. Don't tell people that. The young girls won't come flocking to me. Shh.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, they probably will. You're right. It's a good thing I'm choosy. Quality over quantity. Anyway, I'm sure that'll be edited out.
No, I'm the quality, so I'm good.
Yeah, that's true. You are. That's why you're here.
Your introduction to kink.
My introduction to kink happened in college. I was pretty much a man sled at the time. Being a college kid, you know, you kind of expect that to happen.
Not all of us do.
Not all of us do that, no.
You got into kink.
I got into kink in college. And there was a good circle of friends that we all just kind of swung around. It was a swinger group, pretty much. And we would all do this, that, and the other. And then one night after, I was a music major, so football game happened on a Saturday afternoon, early. And every football game night there was a huge party somewhere, and I had decided I was partied out that night and decided not to go. So one of my buddies from the group called me up and was like, hey, I need you to come, and we got a thing. And he's like really
vague,
and I'm like, spit it out, man. What do you need here? What's going on? He's like, well, we're doing a thing. I can't tell you anything more than that. I'm like, a thing? That doesn't tell me anything, dude. He's like, you can back out if you get there and you freak out, and just back out quietly and don't make a scene. If you do it, there's a blowjob in it for you from so-and-so, who I absolutely, one of our friends and one of my all-time yay go-to girls for that at the time. And I was like, whew, okay, hey, all right, yeah, I'm down for that. I mean, what college guy is not down for a blowjob? Just saying. So he took me out into the woods, and I was getting a little freaked out there, and there was this secluded area where there was this old barn, and outside the barn was this clearing. And he's like, hey, you're just gonna come up, we're just going to be just super quiet and just watch, and we can talk afterwards if, you know, something goes funky, or if something doesn't go funky, whatever, we'll talk afterwards and I'll explain everything. So the girl in question was brought out blindfolded, completely naked, hands bound behind her back. Her husband, who also a friend of mine from the said group, was leading her out, and he said the punishment will fit the crime. And I think there was, I can't remember if it was 8 of us or 12 of us or 10 of us, or it was an even number. I remembered that, but it seemed like it was 10 of us for some reason in a circle. And she was made to suck every one and drink them dry. And afterwards, I'm like, okay, so you got to tell me what the hell happened here. What's going on? So he's like, okay, so they're in this relationship where he's her master and she's the slave, and she's had gone and played with someone else. And she was going to thank him for the good time with a blowjob, because it was a flogging thing that they had done, non-sexual, but she wanted to thank him with a blowjob because she really enjoyed it and needed it and all this and that. Well, late 80s, not everyone has a cell phone, unless the great big gigantic college students especially, because they were expensive. And so she
didn't let him know.
She wasn't able to get in touch with him.
Get permission?
She couldn't get the permission. So she's like, I'll ask forgiveness later. And this was the punishment to fit the crime. There's...
And you're like, okay, I like this. I
was like, and me, being the young college boy that I was, strapping young lad, looking for the ladies, I was like, you mean I can get a girl to do whatever I want? Of course, that was how I looked at it at the time.
Now, you've since learned better.
Since
yes.
Then, I've learned different, yes. Now it's a much more meaningful relationship thing to me. But at the time, I was like, he's like, okay. And the guy that was kind of over us all, I say over us all, he was kind of the ringleader, if you want to, however you want to look at that, because you didn't have local dungeons and you didn't have local munches and you didn't have all that at the time. And what we had was, he was a leather man who was there in that college town, and he lived there because he worked locally, and he kind of took a certain number. This is the way it was when it started. It was B&D and S&M and M&S, and we didn't have it as BDSM then. We got the whole alphabet soup, and it was all word of mouth and personal invitation. You were vetted before you came to an event. People discussed you before you got to an event.
Wow.
People knew you basically before you got to an event. And you didn't know who was doing it in public, because you didn't have people wearing collars all over the place in public. They were hidden. It was a hidden thing. And it's a little more open and accepted now, but not to the extent that I think a lot of people think it should be. I enjoyed it then. I enjoy it now. That's, you know, comes with growth. But he kind of took us all under his wing, and I really learned a lot from him. He was my mentor for many years. When he left, when work carried him from Texas to California, eventually, he kind of dubbed me as in charge of the group and named me as a master, which I was never really a leather person, so I was baffled by that. So people who look at my profile and see master on there, that's why. It's in honor of him. While he was in California, he got cancer and passed away. So I leave that for him, and that's why it says that. And otherwise, I would probably change it to daddy or kingster. Or
because it's not really evil how bastard you identify.
Right. I don't identify as leather, although I have kind of was brought up in a leather kind of family there. But that's not really...
It's a little too much formality for...
I'm more of a denim guy.
Yes, you are.
People who see me out in public, they'll see me wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And very seldom am I wearing anything very formal. I've taken to wearing a denim vest covered with fun buttons all over it. That, you know, Hot Topic is my bitch. And
those darn buttons that keep falling off.
Yeah. And if I get duplicates and someone sees the duplicate, and you know, like, because there's a lot of Harry Potter things, because we're a little geeky.
Yes, I think that describes us pretty well. Actually, we are kinky, geeky,
nerdy, fun people. And
I'm staring at a wall of pop vinyls as
pop
we
vinyls
speak.
That
so.
All came in for my recent birthday there. And that's just a drop in the bucket because haven't moved them in here yet. No. We lost my train of thought.
We're nerds.
We are nerds. But yeah, the buttons, sometimes I have a lot of Harry Potter on there, a lot of Batman, a lot of Marvel stuff, a lot of Doctor Who, various just funny sayings. And sometimes there'll be duplicates because I've got so many that I don't realize it. And someone who's looking for all the Harry Potters, oh, you have two of those. Well, then you've earned one for spotting that. And then they wear that button with pride for some reason because they found the duplicate. I don't know. It's weird. It's happened twice. I didn't realize I had two of the same on there.
Awesome.
So that's pretty much my origin story with a little extra stuff thrown in there.
Yay.
So that's kind of where I started. I've grown a lot since then, obviously. Took some time off to get married and have a kid, and that didn't take. So, well, I mean, the kid did. He's still around. Don't think that didn't take. That did. and then, but the wife went nuts, and I left that one.
Harsh.
Well, it's not untrue. So, left that one, and then...
We don't have to get into your whole life story right now. But we can as it becomes...
sure, as people get to know me.
And as it's relevant to the conversation.
True. True story. So...
What matters is that we're together now.
We are together now, and this is where we are in our journey, and we are trying to share part of it with you so that hopefully your journey will have less bumps along the way.
Well said. All right, so I guess that's probably it for this episode. So welcome to our podcast, and we hope that you will check out the FET page and get to know us a little, and we'll get to know you, and we'll have fun.
Absolutely. Do we need a sign-off of some kind?
Don't know.
You don't
know?
Just
say goodbye.
Okay, we can just say goodbye. I'll say...
Until next time.
Be as kinky as you want to be. Be safe about it. And
we'll see you
down
the
road. I torture you.